Chapter 9. On Magua's Trail.
By a miraculous chance and great strength and skill, Hawkeye, Uncas, Chingachgook, Colonel Munro and Duncan Hayward all survived the massacre, in which most of the 3,000 troops and settlers were killed. 3 days later, the five men returned to Fort William Henry to look for some sign of the colonel's two daughters. General Montcalm had destroyed the fort. It was now a ruin. The men walked among the dead, looking for signs of Cora and Alice. Finally, on a tree at the edge of the forest, Uncas discovered a piece of Cora's green dress. He held it close to him and said, "This is hers. They have gone into the forest." "Perhaps she was able to hide there," said Duncan. "Let's look for her trail." A short distance from the first piece of cloth, Uncas found another piece of the same dress. "Let's follow her trail, for the love of God," cried Colonel Munro. "Look, here," said Hawkeye, pointing to the print of an Indian shoe. "She is a prisoner. Uncas, what can you learn from the print?" Uncas examined the footprint. "It is Magua's shoe," he said angrily. "We must save Cora from him." "But where is Alice?" asked Colonel Munro. "There is no sign of her. But look, here is the mark of David Gamut's shoe. Perhaps Alice is with him," said Hawkeye to the anxious father. They followed the trail a short distance, and then Uncas found David's silver flute on the ground. "We must follow them quickly," said Colonel Munro again. "Wait," said Hawkeye. "We have a long journey in front of us. Let's camp tonight in the ruins of the fort. Tomorrow we will begin the expedition rested and with clear minds." That night the five men camped in the ruins of Fort William Henry. Colonel Munro became more sad and silent as he sat in the ruins of the fort that he had tried to defend. He did not know whether his daughters were alive or dead. Uncas and Duncan were also thinking about the women they loved. The five men started before dawn the next day, following Magua's trail. They travelled north in canoes over Lake George. As they passed one of the islands in the lake, an Indian canoe came out of the trees along the lake and chased them. Soon the canoes came to some rocks. Here the skill of Hawkeye and the Mohicans carried them through safely, while the canoe of their pursuers hit a submerged rock, throwing the Indians into the water. After this incident, the five men carefully avoided the other islands. Finally, they came to the northern edge of the lake. Here they hid their canoes in the forest and began to look for the trail of Magua and his prisoners again. Uncas quickly found Magua's footprints, and the small group continued on the trail. After several days, they came to the edge of another lake. As they watched, a strangely dressed man appeared very close to where they were hidden. He seemed to be talking to some people in the lake. "That's not an Iroquois, a Huron, or an Indian from any other tribe I know," whispered Hawkeye to Duncan. "Can you see if he has a rifle or a bow?" "He doesn't seem to have any weapons," answered Duncan.
"We have nothing to fear from him.
But what about those other people in the water?"
Hawkeye laughed. "Those people in the water are beavers. Come with me, and let's try to take this man prisoner without using our rifles."
As Duncan and Hawkeye moved nearer, the man stood up slowly. The beavers hit the water with their tails in a warning signal, and they all disappeared under the surface of the lake.
"Well, friend," called Hawkeye, recognizing the man, "are you trying to teach the beavers to sing?"
The man turned around. It was their companion, David Gamut.
"How did you find us?" asked the astonished David.
"We have been following your trail for almost a week," explained Hawkeye.
"What has happened to the young ladies?"
asked Duncan impatiently.
"Cora is in a village on the other side of that black rock over there, and Alice is a prisoner of the Huron tribe in a village near here," said David.
"Why are you free?" asked Duncan.
"My singing makes the Indians think that I am mad. It is against their beliefs to hurt a madman," explained David.
"The tribe which is holding Cora," Hawkeye began, "what symbols are on their totem poles?"
"I saw the shape of a tortoise painted on many things," David answered.
"That may be good," explained Hawkeye.
"The tortoise is also the symbol for Chingachgook's tribe."
"David,
Come and give your news about Cora and Alice to their father. Later you can return to the villages and tell the sisters that we are here and are planning to rescue them."
"I will go with him," said Duncan. "Paint me so that nobody can recognize me. I will say I am a healer and that I am travelling around from tribe to tribe."
Chingachgook painted Duncan and helped him to dress like a French healer. David told Colonel Munro about his daughters, and then he and Duncan returned to the Huron village. David took Duncan to the chief of the village and introduced him.
"Why do you wear the clothes of a white man and the paint of my people?" asked the chief.
"I wear the paint to show honour to your Indian tribe," explained Duncan.
The chief was satisfied with this answer and gave Duncan permission to stay in the village. As Duncan finished speaking to the chief, a terrible noise from the edge of the village brought the entire tribe running out of their homes. The cry signalled the return of a war party. They were carrying enemy scalps, and they had a prisoner. Duncan was shocked to see that the prisoner was Uncas. Several Hurons were holding Uncas, but he fought against them and broke free. He jumped over the heads of some children and almost escaped into the forest. But at the last moment, he was stopped by a Huron warrior. Uncas turned and ran towards a short, painted post in front of the biggest building in the village. According to Indian custom, this post protected him, and he stood there while the Hurons surrounded him.
"Coward, you do not know how to fight!" an old woman shouted, but Uncas showed no emotion and did not react to her insults.
Duncan watched as the chief of the village went to Uncas.
"Two of my warriors are chasing your companions," the chief said. "When they return, our wise men will decide if you live or die."
"Your young men will not return," said Uncas. "I am sure that my friends have killed them."
Then Uncas pointed to a young warrior. "You managed to capture me because that warrior ran away and I was trapped when I followed him," Uncas said.
"Young warrior," said the chief, "it is a great dishonor to run away from an enemy. You are fierce before the battle, but you are afraid to fight your enemies in the battle itself. You have brought humiliation to our tribe, and you must die."
As he finished speaking, the chief stabbed the young man in the heart. The young warrior's father stood ashamed, with his head down. In the confusion that followed, Uncas recognized Duncan and whispered to him, "Escape from here, and don't try to help me." While all the Indians were occupied with Uncas, Duncan started to look for Alice. He did not find her, so he returned to the building with a post in time to see Magua enter and take his place at the meeting of wise men. When Magua saw that the captive was Uncas, he tried to persuade the other men that Uncas had to die.
"This warrior has killed many of our young men," said Magua. "They will not return to their homes and their families. Their wives cry and their children are hungry. Why should he live?"
The other men agreed with Magua's argument. Uncas would be executed the next morning.